Okay. Your final, I believe, is on the Tuesday before Christmas.
Oh.
Which is, I got the list and I forgot to bring it in.
Okay, so it's on the Tuesday, not the
Sunday. I believe so.
Okay.
There was a list floating around in my office. And I'm almost positive that it is, because what happened is that very nicely my 11 and 12 city, which are the same topic, are both on the Thursday.
Oh.
And I have a class on the Monday, and then I believe you're on the 22nd. And that's fine. I think what I'm going to do is post it a little early and therefore say, if you have a desire to get it done before Christmas, get it done and just send it to me. And, you know, and I'll give you some extra time on it so you can go either ways. Because as long as I give the whole class extra time, it doesn't much matter. But I would love it if it came in before the 22nd. And I'm sure you would love it if you were done before the 22nd and actually had that week more of a I'm done week. And I had that week as more of a I get to correct a week.
Yep.
So, anyway, so I'm going to post it not this weekend, but next weekend. And then you can get it into me. So I will post it next weekend. And then you can get it into me, you know, anytime you get it done. And I think that will work better. So, I'm going to finish up triggers today. And so that finishes things up. So we have the 8th, the 10th. Classes end on the 16th. For us, for me, they end on the 15th because I don't have any classes on Wednesday. So classes end on the 15th. So that gives you 3 labs, which is what I kind of hope for. Hello. So you're going to get 3 things of labs, and if we think of something that we want to talk about, then we can talk about it. But I think I'm in all good shape. We're in good shape. So that's the deal. Is I believe the final is the 22nd. I will post it by the weekend of the 12th, 13th. If you get it in before the 22nd, you'll get it in that first week. It will make everybody happy, you and me both. And this is the last day of lecture classes. And the 8th, 10th, and 15th will be open labs. Okay? And as I said, you will have the stuff by that 15th, so you can come in and ask questions about it on the 15th if you have questions about the final. Okay? Alrighty. So let's take a look at triggers. Introduction to triggers, and then we will look on more on triggers. Okay, now the point that they make about triggers is triggers are name blocks, and that way they're similar to procedures. However, procedures are involved with an explicit call and a passing of arguments, while a trigger event causes the implicit execution of the trigger code and arguments are not involved. So what you've got, basically, a trigger event is associated with inserts, updates, and deletes, and they cause the firing of the trigger. And the trigger can have a clause on it that says before or after. So do the trigger before you do the insert or after you do the insert. Before you do the update or after you do the update. You can code after insert or delete or update, or you can just pick one after insert on or whatever. And you can also get involved with for each row and check that, and that we'll see as we go along. You can't have commit, rollback, or save point in it. etc. Okay, so what a trigger is if you have a file, a table, and you are doing maintenance on that table, you can get the maintenance to cause this trigger to happen. And so you can basically, the nice part about this is you can keep track of something has changed on this table. And so frequently the trigger is going to basically generate a report. It's going to put out the information that this record was inserted, this record was changed, this record was deleted, if you use the insert or delete or update. If you only want to know what was inserted, then you can do that. If you only want to know what's deleted, you can do that. So you can get a trail, basically, of changes that are made to the database. Because that's the thing that is scariest, is changes being made to a database that are not well edited and well thought through and well done. So if you have a paper trail of what happened and what changed, then you at least know what happened, and you always would have a backup of yesterday's version. Anybody that has a serious database is backing up pretty constantly. May not even be yesterday's. It may be this morning's versus this afternoon's versus tonight's. But they're backing up fairly. So if something goes wrong, you've got some way of recovery. Okay, so I created a file, and my file is simply wonderful. Okay, so unfortunately, I can't read which is which, but I'm kind of assuming that a red light means I can't seem to turn it off. Well, we'll find out if I got a loud one or a not so loud one now. So I have this table, and the table I put in there a change date and a total amount. Okay, so I'm going to keep track of the total amount. I'm going to run it on an update, and I'm going to keep track of the total amount. So I just added something. Now I've got a total amount. I could have just recorded. Lots of times with a trigger, you just record that this happened, as opposed to doing anything. I decided to do a total. So I've got create or replace, trigger, trigger one. And it will be run after an update on the new donation one table. Okay, so I am going to, anytime any program does an update on new donation one, this trigger will be triggered. So it's tied to the data as opposed to tied to the processing. Okay, it's tied to the data as opposed to, probably processing was the wrong word, as opposed to being tied to a program. Okay, it's being tied to the data. So if new donation one gets updated, no matter who and what updates it, I'm going to know about it because it's tied to the data. Now, as I commented here, I guess I'm getting lazy because I put in a hard-coded date as opposed to putting in a date someplace. Okay. But anyway, so I now have a date and I have the total amount. So the trigger is going to say select sum into V total amount from new donation one and then insert the line into the file that I created, which is called total notes. Okay. And I'm inserting those two things into total notes. And that's the end of the trigger. Now, just like a procedure and function, I have to create the trigger. Okay. So I created the trigger. And now I'm saying edit use Trigger One. So this is just a program that is doing a very simplistic update. Okay, so I went in and I said, update new donation one, set the con amount equal to V con amount where the ID is equal and the drive number is equal. Okay, the SQL will execute the trigger one. So when I run this, okay, the name of the program that I'm running is right up here, and it is called edit, it's called use trigger one. So I go in and it says, all right, when I do this, it says take in an ID, a drive number, and a contribution amount, because right up here with the variables I'm taking something in. So I typed in the ID number 33333. And the drive number 300 and the input amount 30. Okay, so those are being added to that table. So if I now look at the table, I can see that, not added, I'm sorry, updated. When I look at it, I can see that the 33333300 record has been changed to the 30. Okay, so I don't know what used to be in that record, but it has now been changed to 30. Okay? And then, because I did an update, I also brought about the trigger. And so the trigger went in and said, okay, the trigger is going to do a select the sum and insert it into total notes. So the trigger did the select and it inserted it into total notes. So I now have the date and 160, which is the sum of all of these numbers, all of the contribution amounts. So I now have the 160. Okay. Then on the line below, I put in the 23456, and I want to change that, and you can see that's now 10, but I'm changing 23456, 300, and I want to put a 45 there. So if you scroll down a little bit more, you can see the 10 has been changed to a 45, and the trigger generates the second line in total notes, which tells me the same date and now adds up everything there, and it's 35 more because I changed the 10 to a 45, and so I've got 195.
So on this trigger, when you say create or replace trigger, all the code after that until you say any that trigger name, that's the trigger.
Right. Huh. Wherever I am, that's trigger one. Okay, so that's the trigger. And I'm telling you, I want to do it on after an update. I could have said before an update. The next example is a before. So it says after you do the update, okay, I want you to select the sum of the contribution amount and store it in V total amount. Okay, so I want you to go in and gather the sum. And then I want you to insert that into total notes. And again, it would have been better to use the system date or something, but I hard-coded a date, so the date's in there. I'm just watching to see where you're going to sit. Mainly because it fascinates me where you all choose. If Amanda's here, you choose to sit there. If not, it's frequently back there, and now you're being totally innovative. Okay, so we're talking about triggers. So that's how the trigger works. Okay, it does in and it collects the amount, stores it in the total amount variable I set up, and then it just writes it out. So I did an insert. If I wanted to, I could have had this do a DBMS line, but I wanted a permanent record, so I did an insert, into a file that's giving me a permanent record. Okay, so I now have that file. If somebody wants to know what happened, they can go and look. Okay. And any program that doesn't update on new donation one is going to cause this to happen. So it's not connected to a particular program. It's connected to the fact that I updated this file. So it's connected to the update of the data, and that's what's going to cause it to happen.
Okay. So it's an implicit execution. So
yes.
You can have 10 triggers, and anything that updates that particular record, if there's a trigger that's associated to that same table, it'll get triggered.
That's right. Okay. Exactly. And again, it's basically a way of keeping track of what's happening to your files, to your tables. You know, if you have something out on the cloud or something that is on a major server, and you've got people updating from all over the place and all of that. Now, if you're smart, you have limited the number of people that have the ability to do an update. When you set up Oracle, you get to give people power. And if you're smart, you've limited the power of who can change your data. You know, let almost anybody access it, although if you have private data, you often have to keep that under control. But people accessing it is not going to mess up your data. People updating, inserting, deleting, that's going to mess up your data. And so this trigger at least, and you can get very specific. I mean, I could have written out exactly what happened, you know, and put out much more information. I just decided to do it, getting myself a total. Okay. So that is a basic trigger. And the next one is more on triggers. Okay, so on this one, I created two tables. I've got columns stew and I've got credit range. Okay, so column stew, I just created the table and I didn't put anything into it. And credit range, I've got data in. So I said, okay, a freshman has from 0 to 30 credits, a sophomore has 31 to 60 credits. A junior has 61 to 90 credits. A senior has 91 to as big as I can hold, okay, credits. So I've set up that table, and I have set up the column stew table, which is going to hold ID, name, number of credits, and the class level. At you, but we have just talked about where Lauren was sitting, and then you came in and went back there, and then you went up here and scouted the place. That's right, exactly, clearly. Well, usually if Amanda's here, then the order is different coming in, because Amanda's not late, you two are.
Well, technically, I'm late too.
Oh, yeah, right. But they don't care. They only care about Amanda and them. They're not interested in where you sit. Okay. So. So I have a very simple PLSQL, which is type in the information and I am going to put it into that credit range, not the credit range. There we go. I'm going to put it into column stew. Okay, so I wrote a very simple little program where I said, hey, get an ID, a name, the number of credits, and the class level, and then insert it into a table. Okay. So the trigger I wrote has to do with the insert. I think I took a picture of that, but I'm not sure. Okay, so here's my trigger. I created a trigger called student log. I'm going to do it before the insert on columns 2. And for each row, when the new class is not equal to senior. Okay, so translated, what that means is I'm not going to check on senior. Okay, I decided because I wanted to do this for no other reason than that, I decided I wasn't going to check on senior. Okay, so if the user types in senior, I'm not going to check on it. So this trigger is going to not happen if I type in senior. It's going to happen if I type in anything other than senior. Okay. So then I set up...
Wait, do you need the for each row in order to do a when?
Yes.
Okay.
And the explanation down there, although I don't think I put for each row, I think that was up above. And then you notice the new on that is the thing that I want to focus on. It says new class level. Okay, so if you read down below here, insert, there is an old and a new, okay? Note the use of old and new in the row level trigger. Okay? Old cannot be used on an insert. Delete, the new is not there because I can't have anything new if I'm doing a delete. I just have what was old. And on an update, I can actually get both. Okay? So I'm saying when the new class level is equal to senior, I'm not going to do anything. So now I'm coming down and I'm saying select minimum credits, maximum credits, and V minimum credits, V maximum credits from the credit range table, where the year name is equal to colon new class level. Okay, so that is, I'm doing an insert, and I want to look at the new, which means the one that somebody wants to enter in. Okay, so I'm saying where the year name is equal to the new class level. And then I said, okay, if the new number of credits, okay, because again, this is the stuff that I'm typing in. If the new number of credits is less than the minimum, or the new number of credits is greater than the maximum, then raise an application error that says credits out of range. Okay? So if somebody tries to put in a freshman, sophomore, or junior that doesn't have the credits within the range that I have set up, then I am raising an error. And I'm doing this before I do the insert, so I could decide not to do the insert if I wanted to. Okay. So I cannot do the insert if it's not an insert I want on there. So this insert will happen only if I've got the right things going on. And that error that I put there, I chose the number and I chose the name for it. And that's down in the explanations below also, where I said the raise application error is built-in function that allows the programmer to create error messages appropriate for their application. And you can select a number between 20,000 and 20,999. And I picked 20,001. And I said the message is going to be credit out of range. Okay. So now I'm going to put something into this. So if I come down here a little further, I first of all created the trigger, and then I put in an ID of 1234, John Doe, 15, and a freshman. And that was successfully completed because 15 was in the range for a freshman. Okay? And so that got written onto my column stew. Then I did a 2345, Jane Doe, 15, and she was a junior. And I got the credit out of range, and it didn't get inserted. Okay. And then I put in a senior, and the senior went in. Because I'm not doing the check on the senior. So it's the wrong number, but it didn't check that because I said don't check seniors.
It says error at line 1 and at line 7. It kind of makes it look like there's something wrong with the syntax. Is there any way to prevent that from happening? And just get like...
You can use it in exceptions instead of doing it this way.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so up here, 60 was for sophomores. So when I tried to put in a senior down here, then it's yelling at me, basically. Because, or not yelling at me, I'm sorry. It's not yelling at me because I said don't check seniors. Okay? If I had said check seniors, then it would have given me an error here. So as long as it's within the right range, it goes in. If it's not in the right range, I got an error. If you want the error to not cause processing to stop, you should use exceptions as opposed to just throwing in this little error. And that will make it work. So again, that's the purpose of a trigger. And again, we are really looking at procedures, functions, and triggers kind of to give you an overview of how they exist. If you're actually going to work with them, you need to do a lot more research than what we're doing here. This is just a quick little, gee, you've got these, and so you can figure out how to work with them. Okay. The next thing, I gave you a homework assignment, and I've actually given you two. This is the last homework assignment. And then we're done. And again, I will post the final. So this is the time to get caught up. I said write code to take in an ID and determine if the check digit is correct. Okay, so I've got notes up here on check digits. Okay, so we're going to take a look at how a check digit works. What I want you to do is take in a check digit, take in an ID, and all you have to do in that program, the second program, is to figure out what the check digit is and see if it's a valid check digit or not. Okay? So, a check digit is a number that's used to validate things. So, for example, I've got a number, find the check digit for, and the check digit in this case is 7. Okay, so I've got two things here. One, down at the bottom, I'm validating, and here I'm creating it. So I've got an ID number of 036532, and actually when it is used, it will have the 7 at the end. Because here I'm creating the check digit. So if I have a new customer coming in, I need to create a check digit for that customer, or I create an ID for them, and then I create a check digit for them. And then from that point forward, if I want to process the customer and make sure it's a valid customer, then I do the check digit thing. And you know how you get the invalids on your credit card if you don't enter it correctly, if you make a mistake? check digit could be the reason. They may have other more sophisticated things that they're doing, but a check digit would, you know, I tend to do reverse digits periodically, and a check digit will check the reverse, will catch that, because most of them have a weighting issue. So they weight depending on where it is.
So here I assign weights to each digit of the ID. Okay, so this was a 6-digit ID. It's going to be a 7-digit ID when I add in the check digits. So it's going to be 7 digits totally.
So the leftmost digit gets a weight of 7. The next digit gets a weight of 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay?
This is, I should have said at the beginning, this is known as the mod 11 check digit. There's a whole bunch of these algorithms out there that will let you do a check digit, and there's all kinds of check digits. Okay, I just did this particular one. It's one that I used at one point. So each digit in the ID is multiplied by its weight. The results of the multiplication are added together. The product is divided by 11. The remainder is subtracted from the modulus number 11, giving the check digit. So I'm going through a bunch of calculations, which means I have to have access to each digit in the ID. Okay, so I'm going to be using substring or something, or setting it up in an array, or doing something such that I have access to each digit. Okay. I think I just basically used substrings. Okay, so doing this, I have my 0 times 7 is 0, 3 times 6 is 18, 6 times 5 is 30, 5 times 4 is 20, 3 times 3 is 9, 2 times 2 is 4. So I'm going to do that in a loop and add them all up as I'm going through the loop. So I've got a loop that's going through, and the loop is changing the weight and doing the multiply and adding. So if I start at the leftmost digit, I'm saying the first time through the loop, the weight is 7. Then I subtract 1 from the weight, and I keep going through and adding to the total. So this total gave me 81. I then go in and divide the 81 by 11, and it gives me 7, with a remainder of 4. I then take the 11, subtract the remainder, and I get 7. So that's how I calculate my check digit using this particular algorithm, this particular technique. Okay. Now there's problems. If the remainder from the division is 0 or 1, then the subtraction will yield a 2-digit number of either 10 or 11. This won't work. So if the check digit is 10, then X is frequently used as the check digit. And if the check digit is 11, then 0 is used as the check digit. And if X is used, then it has to be redefined. And when I first did this particular one, I did it in COBOL. So that picture X is how you would define it in COBOL. So that shows how long that's been around. Okay, but what I'm saying is you have to define it as a character. And okay.
You could make a choice to do something else. So you could make a choice to put in a different digit there. And say that if it comes up, then instead of using an X, I'm going to use a 9 or something like that. And then you'd have 2 ways of getting a 9. That adds a little bit of liability to it, but it's not much. Okay. To verify a check digit, the entire number is multiplied by the same weight that was used to calculate, and the check digit itself is multiplied by 1. The result of the multiplication are added together. the sum is divided by 11, and if the remainder is 0, the number is correct. Note that if the check digit is X, then 10 is used for the multiplication. Okay. So in checking, once I came up with the 7, I go in there and I multiply them all through and I add 7, I get 88. 88 is divided by 11 and the remainder is 0. So the check digit is valid. Okay.
For check digit to be valid, the remainder is always 0?
Yes. Yep. And as I said, there's a whole lot of algorithms out there. This is just one that I used at some point for some project I was working on. But there are other algorithms that can be used to come up with a check digit. So, the second problem, the second homework assignment for this week is to take in a check digit and validate it. And I probably also should have said take it in and create it. So if you do both, I'll give you extra credit. Because I think I just said validated. Yeah. So if you both create and validate, I'll give you extra credit. And really, if you're doing one, it's pretty easy to add in the second one. Okay. We're done. So, as I said, from now on, it's going to be open labs. I try to get it so that I have at least a week. I must have talked fast this semester because we have an extra day thrown in there. You know, those 3 minutes helped. So, you've got the extra time to get caught up, and I will post the final. Actually, I don't know, how many of you are you pretty much caught up? You two are, I know. I can put out the final a little bit earlier. I don't really care how much time you have on it. And that way you can work on it if you want to. I'm not going to put it out until after this weekend because I'm going to play with it this weekend and work on final. This weekend's project is to get the final straightened out. But I'll put it out someday next week. Okay. And then you have to also pass in a status sheet. And as I tell all my classes, your status sheet is your insurance policy. Because if on the status sheet you tell me what you've done, if you and I disagree, then I will get back to you. Okay? Because I make mistakes, you make mistakes, and email makes mistakes. So we want to make sure that we catch all of the possibilities. So if you and I are in agreement, then you're all set. If not, I will ask you to send it to me, and you need to send it to me, and then I'll give you the credit.
And you'll be putting that status sheet
up with the final. I put the status sheet form up with the final. And in fact, I don't correct the final if I don't get a status sheet. And I say that. You know, if I don't have a status sheet, I don't feel like I can validly go in and evaluate your grade because I don't know for sure whether I've got something missing or not. So I just don't even do the final if I don't get a status sheet. Okay. So you got to give me a status sheet. Your final's only worth 10% of your grade. The majority of your grade is doing the homework. Alrighty, anything else? I'm done. Have a miserable next couple of weeks, please. If you're not caught